I appreciate the song service that Jerry just led us into this morning. That Jerry led that last song, "Is It Well With Thy Soul?" I want to ask that question this morning. I want to ask you as a personal question, is it well with your soul? What is standing between you and God? Is sin in your life? And if sin is in your life, it is not well with thy soul. What if this was the last day of your life? What would be your attitude? How would you feel about that if you knew today was the last day that you had to live? A few years ago, I guess 3 years ago, we had an old fellow over at the mall. We walk over to the mall all the time. Peggy walks over there also. But Peggy's a latecomer over there. We started walking, Ludine and I started walking over at Hickory Hollow Mall in 1989. And we've seen a lot of people come and go, and a lot of people have moved away, and a lot of those older people have died. They have died. We've become friends to many of those people over the years. But there was one old fellow that stood about 6'6" tall. He was a black fellow, and he had a long stride. And I would say he was late 60s, early 70s. And he always had something on his shirt. Or some kind of message, some kind of lesson on his shirt. Some inscription. It was always of a spiritual nature. I never knew the man's name. I should have and wish I had known more about the man now, because I don't see him anymore. But he always had some scriptural thought on his shirt. He talked with a booming, strong voice. We always throw up our hand at each other, greeting each other, but our life was passing by. And he didn't come anymore. But the point I wanted to make, I remember two inscriptions on his shirt. One inscription says, "God is good every day." God is good every day. Now, we may be undergoing difficulties of life and sorrow and pain and suffering, but still, God is good every day, and we can depend on God to do what He thinks for us that would be the betterment of whatever part of our lives that He might be involved in. Whatever God does, God makes no mistakes. Another inscription he had on there, "Attitude is everything." Attitude is everything. Now think about that. God is good every day, and attitude is everything. My question to you this morning is this. It's a simple question. What if you had but one day to live? What in the world would you say? What would be your attitude? How would you feel about it if in some way that you knew today was the last day of your life? Would you have some straightening out to do? Would you have some apologies to make? Would you have something to say to God? God, I'm not as faithful as I ought to be. I'm not doing what I know I should be doing. Would you make things right in your life if today was the last day of your life? And what would be your attitude toward that day? I want to give you three lessons. Number one, it's found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 28. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, we are introduced to a man by the name of King Saul. King Saul was the first king over Israel. He had been appointed a king after God selected him after the placement of Samuel, the last judge. Saul became a king, the first king of Israel. He was, the Bible describes him as a huge person. It would seem to indicate, the Bible says, that he stood head and shoulders above all other men of his day. That he was a great warrior. And not only was he a great warrior, but he also had taught his sons to be great warriors. And so he was appointed king over Israel. The people said, give us Saul as king. And God anointed King Saul as the first king of Israel. And God led King Saul into many battles. He led him into battle against the Amalekites. He led him into battle against the Amorites. He led him into battle against the Moabites. He led him into battle against the Philistines. And he was always victorious because he stood on the side of God. He stood where God stood. But then we find, after a while, King Saul began to deviate from that which God had told him to do. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, we find that King Saul is now about to go to war against the Philistines. He had before been victorious over the Philistines some years earlier. But now he finds his way to Mount Gilboa. And as he camped, as he led Israel up in the mountains of Gilboa, and he was encamped there, and looking down in the Shunem Valley, he saw the Philistine armies as they surrounded Mount Gilboa. And as he looked upon the numbers of military men that they had in the Shunem Valley, he knew there was no way for him to escape. And he went to God. The Bible tells us that he went to God. But you know what? God would not answer him. The Bible tells us that he prayed unto God, but God would not answer anything, any request that he made of God, because God had turned away from his life because his heart was evil. And he went to God. And God would not communicate with him by dream. Nor by prophet. No communication whatsoever. And so he found himself in a difficult situation. And the Bible tells us that he fainted. That he feared. That he knew that he was about to lead Israel into a war, a battle. And he wanted to be assured of God that he was going to be victorious as before. But God would not communicate anything, neither by dream nor by prophet. And Saul was scared. He was scared. And the Bible tells us that he began to find himself between the rock and a hard place. And he said unto his servant, he said, we're about to go into battle and we don't know the outcome. I want to speak to someone about our victory. But he said, God will not communicate with me. He said, I want you to find the witch of Endor. Now Endor was a small town located at the base of Mount Gilboa. Saul had expelled all witches from Israel. But now God would not communicate with him. But a witch was better than nothing. So he told his servants, go down and get the witch of Endor and let me communicate. Maybe she can communicate as to whether I'm going to be victorious in battle. And he went to Endor. And he talked to the witch. And she said, what would you that I do for you? He said, I want to talk to Samuel. Samuel now had been dead for 5 years. Samuel had been dead for 5 years. And King Saul could not communicate with God. And Samuel was the next best choice. But Samuel had been dead for 5 years. And this is the only example that we have in the Bible where the dead is communicated with the living. In some way, that witch brought Samuel up from the dead and communicated to King Saul. And he said unto King Saul, Tomorrow, he was hoping that Samuel would bring a message of victory, a message of joy. But instead of a message of victory and a message of joy, it was a message of defeat. It was not a message of life, but a message of death. So Samuel came up and he said unto King Saul, tomorrow you're going to be with me. Samuel had been dead for 5 years, and if tomorrow he's going to be with Samuel, that means tomorrow Saul is going to lose in battle, but not only you, he said, but your sons as well. Your sons as well. He had taught his sons to be great the servants of Israel. He had taught them to be great in battle. And now he's going to face for the first time the reality of death, separated and without hope from God. And he said, Samuel said unto King Saul, tomorrow you will be with me and thy sons. What was his attitude about death and toward death? I'll tell you what it was. If you read that, you'll find that King Saul, head and shoulders above all other men of his days, a great warrior in battle, he fainted to the full length of his stature upon the ground. That was his attitude. He was unprepared to meet God, and he was unprepared to lose. And the Bible tells us on the morrow, in fulfillment of that which Samuel had told him, tomorrow he went into battle against the Philistine, and a spear, an arrow, found its target into the body of King Saul. And he fell to the ground. And he said unto his servant, he said, take your sword and kill me, because I don't want to be captured by the Philistine. And the servant said, no, I will never do anything that would be harmful to the king. And you know what King Saul did? He pulled his own sword and he fell upon his own sword. Have you heard that phrase before? Someone falling upon their own sword? That's where it came from, right there. King Saul fell upon his own sword and died, and his sons as well died right there on Mount Gilboa. And King Saul, when he heard the message, tomorrow you will be with me, he fainted to the full length of his stature upon the ground. Because he knew he was going to lose in battle and unprepared to face God. The next one we want to turn to is found in 2 Kings chapter 20. In 2 Kings chapter 20, we are introduced to another king by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of the better kings over Judah. Judah, the city of Jerusalem, had been overrun by idol worshippers. The temple had become corrupt. And God was displeased with Jerusalem, and he was displeased with the action that they had given the temple. And Hezekiah came in, and he cleaned up the city of Jerusalem. He destroyed all of the idols in Jerusalem and went into the temple and began to clean up the temple. The 12th king of Judah. A good king, a king that brought honor and glory to God. At 25 years of age, he was appointed king over Judah. 25 years of age. But at age 39, he had a problem. At age 39, the Bible tells us that he was stricken with boils. He had become sick, and his body was stricken with boils. And all that human hands could do had been done for him, but nothing could bring any relief. And he went to God. And Isaiah the prophet, on behalf of Hezekiah, went to God. And as he went to God, God said unto Hezekiah, this is what I want you to do. I want you to set your house in order, for ye shall die and not live. That was the message. The attitude that Hezekiah had was that he went into his bedroom. He went into his bedroom and he began to pray unto Almighty God. He said unto Almighty God, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah cried and prayed. Isaiah the prophet of God came to Hezekiah and he said, I want you to set your house in order, for ye shall die and not live. But Hezekiah prayed to God. His attitude, I'm going to God. Isaiah the prophet went outside of the house, outside in the courtyard. And as Isaiah went outside to the courtyard, he prayed unto God. He said, remember that Hezekiah is a great man. He's walking according to thy truth. And God spoke again. God spoke again. God said unto Isaiah, chapter 35 of the book of Isaiah, go back and tell Hezekiah that I have added 15 years to his life. No, here is a day in which Hezekiah is to die. But because of his attitude and prayers unto God, God said, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. That is, the number of days is given as about 5,475 days. 5,475 days, Hezekiah had the assurance of Almighty God. He is going to live. He is the only person in the Bible that is told exactly when he'll die. Hezekiah, you have 5,475 days to live. And I feel confident that Hezekiah, as a man of God, he had scratched on the side of the wall of his home as each day would pass by. I know that I have so many more days left to live. Because he had the assurance of Almighty God, 5,475 days are 15 years. He had the assurance of God at 39 years of age. Hezekiah died at age 54. Hezekiah became king at 25 years of age. He was stricken with boils at 39 years of age. And Almighty God promised him, because of his attitude and love for God and because of his prayer unto God, that God said, I'm going to give you another 15 years to live. And he did. After that 15 years, Hezekiah died. That's two illustrations from the Old Testament. Now let's turn to the New Testament and see what one man of the New Testament, what his attitude was toward death. It's found in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you're a Bible student, you remember, last words are important. Did you ever stand by the side of a dying person and have them communicate to you in word? You always remember the last words that someone may have spoken unto you while they still lived. Those last words sometimes may be in direct communication, or it may be sometimes by a written letter. I would say this, if you have a letter that is written by someone who you love very much, the last letter that they ever wrote to you is somewhere found in your home today. It may be stuck in the Bible. It may be stuck in some place, somewhere. But last words are important to us. We find in the Old Testament the last words that Moses spoke unto Israel is given as a reminder to each of us. We learn that the last words that Jesus spoke upon the cross is given for our learning. The last words that the Apostle Paul had written unto a young man by the name of Timothy is given in the Bible. Paul has been convicted by the Roman government and has been sentenced to die. He's been sentenced to die. He writes his friend, young friend Timothy, whom he had converted to Christ and was baptized into Christ and became a close companion under the Apostle Paul. And Paul left Timothy at Ephesus to set in order the things that were wanting and to appoint elders in that church. But Paul's in prison now and he begins to think about Timothy, my friend and brother in Christ, my companion, my fellow laborer, he calls him. And he wrote the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. And as he closes down the last chapter of the book of 2 Timothy, written about A.D. 68, we find Paul was writing down these words. And he looked at life from three vantage points. He looked at life from the past, the present, and the future. Listen to what he said. Here's my attitude, he said. Here's my attitude. I've been sentenced to die, but here is the way I feel about death. In one place in the Philippians letter, he said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Philippians chapter 1. He said, "I am caught in a strait, but twisted too, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Brethren, I am persuaded that there are times in our life it's far better for we to depart and be with Christ. When this old body, this old human body can stand no more through human suffering, it's brought from the highest peak to the lowest peak, and slowly our body goes back to the earth, dust from whence it came. It's better sometimes to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I talked to my doctor some time ago, who was a highly religious man, found me with cancer. He said, "You know, Martin," he said, "sometimes we don't know whether to pray for someone to live or to die. We don't know. There is so much human suffering. There is so much human suffering. Sometimes we don't know whether it's right to pray for God to continue to let them live and involve themselves in human suffering, or to die and be with Christ." Paul said, "For me to die is Christ, but to live is gain." He said, "I'm caught in a strait, but twixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ." He said, "Which is far better." There is a time in our lives when it may be far better that we die and be with Christ. But here, look at it, what Paul says. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He looks at life from the past, and he said, "I'm ready to go because of the fact that I have fought a good fight." Paul had fought a good fight from the time he enlisted in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and from the time in which he was baptized into Christ, he never looked back. He never looked back. He was always pushing forward. He said, "I am laying aside every sin that does so easily beset me or us, and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And he said, "Let us all run as if only one would receive the crown." Every person is in the race of life. And as we run the Christian race, we have a destination in mind. That destination for the Christian is heaven. It's an action word. The word "run" is an action word. We run a step at a time. And Paul said, "Now, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." I have finished my course. No way out. He could see no way out. Nothing but death. But Paul welcomed death. "I have finished my course." But he said, "I have stayed the course. I have kept the faith. I never was moved away from the course in which I was set out to do. I was never one that would shirk my responsibility to God. And he said, there is laid up to me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. So look, we have one man. His attitude toward death was tomorrow he died, he fainted. He fainted to the full length of his stature upon the ground. He and his sons as well went into battle on the morrow, and they died in the valley of Shunem because God had departed from King Saul because his heart was evil. We have King Hezekiah, a good king, a good man that lived and walked with God and prayed unto God, and God Almighty heard him, and he said, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. And he did. And after 15 years, he died. His attitude was, I'll pray to God. And he did. And God heard it. Add 15 years to his life. Paul, the New Testament, the apostle, his attitude was, it's all over. My life is all over. And as I look back upon my life has been a battle. There's not anyone in here today that would say that life doesn't have its downfalls. It has battles. We involve ourselves in human suffering, pain and anguish, and eventually death. Job said, man is just like a flower that cometh up just for a time, or just like a shadow that fleeth for a time and continueth not. He said, we're like grass that groweth up in the morning. It flourishes, but it's cut down. He said, we're like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanished away. Saul was not an old man. Paul was not an old man. It's not only the old die, but the young die as well. King Saul and his sons. Saul was old, but he was able to go into battle. But his sons were young. His three sons went the exact same way as did their father. They went into battle against the Philistines, and they were killed there on the battlefield. I ask of you this morning, to you is God good every day? And it's all about attitude. And how do you feel about your salvation? Life, he said, the Bible said, he's just like a weaver's shuttle. It's just there for a time. And then one day the thread of life will go, and time will be no more. I ask of you this question this morning. How do you feel about death? How do you feel about your relationship with God? Is it well with thy soul? What is your attitude? Is it like unto King Saul? Is it like unto Hezekiah? Or is it like unto the Apostle Paul said, I'm ready. I fought the good fight. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and the Lord the Judge will give unto me on that day. If in any way you feel that you need to respond to the gospel this morning, whether it be for rededication of your life to Christ or baptism into Christ for remission of sin, we encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.